Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu unserem zweiten ESC-Kompakt heute, live heute. Und wir haben wieder einen Gast bei uns und freuen uns ganz besonders, dass Mos Kena heute da ist. Hi Mos, good to have you here.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Hi Mars,
Vielleicht
welcome.
müssen wir einleitend noch sagen, Mos is practicing his German, of course,
Ja.
but it's not that good. So he asked us
How
to
dare
do
you?
an interview in English. Of I don't know. You didn't show me yet.
Ich möchte mein Deutsch üben.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Ich versuche.
Yeah. Cool.
Nein, genau. Also wir haben gesagt, dass wir das Interview auf Englisch führen, einfach, dass Moss alles so sagen kann, wie er es sagen möchte. Und weil Peter und ich absolute Genies auf Englisch sind, haben wir gesagt, machen wir natürlich. Und genau, freuen uns jetzt sehr, das Interview gleich machen zu können. Aber hallo Peter, auch schön, dass du da bist.
Hey Benny, hey Moss. Welcome to ESC Compact Live. One remark before we start in English. Wir haben uns überlegt, dass wir nicht simultan immer alles übersetzen, weil damit verlieren wir so viel Zeit, dass wir es so machen werden, dass ihr auf ESC Kompakt nochmal eine Zusammenfassung in deutscher Sprache von allem dem, was wir jetzt in Englisch diskutieren, bekommen werdet, sodass wir hier einen guten Flow hinkriegen und nicht laufend unser radebrechendes Englisch auch noch ins Deutsch übersetzen müssen.
Moss, maybe we start with that you tell us where you are right now and why you are there.
Heute, I am in the film studios for the EFC Chef Sacha. I've been rehearsing all day, doing my warm rehearsal. So wearing what I'm going to be wearing for the show, and it's been a long. There's 24 contestants, so as you can imagine, it's a lot to kind of organize. So it's been a long day, but I am so excited to be here. So right now I'm actually in one of the dressing rooms. I had special permission to film inside here tonight. Live and direct.
Exactly. So nobody else gets to see it, but only everyone who's watching ESC Compact Live.
Exactly. I had to get special permission.
Breaking.
Genau.
Right now, Moss, you are making a lot of new fans in the Eurovision community. No? Some of them don't know you. So how would you describe your career, your musical milestones to somebody who hasn't heard of you until today?
I would describe myself as a soulful pop musician, artist. Ich bin Engländer, aber ich bleibe in Berlin. I have written and performed songs with Purple Disco Machine. People might know the song Fireworks, which was Nummer eins here in Deutschland, aber many countries around, no London or whatever. My Deutsch is like coming in and out. Bear with me.
It's totally perfect. Yeah, great.
And also, I had a song with Alefaben, which is also, I think, top 10 here as well, called Forgot How to Love. But it's really because of Purple Disco Machine is the reason that I moved to Germany. It opened up a whole new market for me and country. And I spent so much time in Germany that it began to feel like my home. And it made so much sense for me to be here. I love the culture here. I love It's hard to describe, but the culture at radio and the culture of live TV and stuff like that, it's for me feels different to the UK, and it feels a lot more open-minded, and I just felt embraced by Germany, so I decided to make it my home.
When did you leave Britain and go to Germany?
In August.
This
Oh, only in August.
last year, August.
So it's expensive
Okay, so
here.
it's 6 months now.
And Purple Disco Machine, what's the reason?
Yeah, I mean, really, because of the success of the song we had, I was touring so much here. I went on tour with Purple Disco Machine last year, kind of in Europe and Germany, obviously. And yeah, it just kind of made sense. I signed a record deal here. I signed a publishing deal here. You know, what's funny is that I never saw my life going in this direction, but I believe that the universe shows you the way to go. And you have to be open and receptive and ready to listen. And this door was wide open for me, and I felt like there were so many reasons to be here, you know? So I made that big decision, yeah.
Explain some of your musical milestones before you had
Yeah.
the very successful collaboration with Purple Disco Machine and Fire.
Yes. So before Purple Disco Machine, obviously I was releasing my own music. I had been releasing music since maybe 2018. I started off by releasing a cover of a Kendrick Lamar song, which kind of went viral on SoundCloud back in the day. I was so cool on SoundCloud. And there were lots of online publications in America and stuff writing about this cover that I did because I didn't have really any photos of me on social media, so nobody knew what I looked like. They only heard my voice, so everyone was like, "Who's this guy?" And luckily, I got to meet Kendrick in America, and he had heard my cover of his song, and he was at the studio. And so I got to connect with him, and he came to London, and we met up a few times. And I would say that's how my career began. Was with releasing that cover on SoundCloud. And then from there on, it kind of grew to getting a record deal after that, starting to tour with other big artists like Rita Ora, Bastille, writing songs with Bastille. So it kind of snowballed from there.
And how did the collaboration with Purple Disco Machine then come about?
That was really interesting. It was like it came at a very interesting time, I think, like in history, because obviously the pandemic was happening. So this was sort of like 2020. And I had a record deal in the UK, and when the pandemic happened, they just like culled their roster. Like anyone who wasn't their big artist making the big money was like gone. Because as an industry, we didn't know how we were going to survive this, you know? And especially in the climate of how the music industry makes money now, it makes money through live performance mainly, you know, and touring. So if we can't do that, then, you know, everyone got a bit scared basically, and all their smaller artists just got released from their contracts. Luckily, thank God, thank God, thank God that happened. So I wasn't busy. And I really, after I went through the experience of that record deal ending, I kind of had a crisis of like who am I as an artist, and like what direction do I go in now? I was kind of at this like turning point because I think as a young guy, I signed that deal when I was 18, and I think I based a lot of my self-worth on having that deal. And once that was removed, I think I really kind of felt like I didn't know who I was as an artist or where I would go, what direction I would go, and whether I would actually be an artist anymore, and whether I would just continue as a songwriter, maybe. So that was how I was feeling at the time when this song got sent to me. My manager had had a meeting at his UK record label, and they said, "You know, we've got this really cool DJ from Germany. He's called Purple Disco Machine. He's, you know, looking for top lines. He has one specific song that he wants to use as a single, but they've never found the right top line for it. Do you think Moss would be interested?" And you know, I'm at the point where I'm like, do I want to do music anymore? And my manager was like, "Look, just try it. Just do something. Go to the studio, you know, see what happens. We don't know." So luckily, I did go to the studio. I wrote a song, and we sent it to Purple Disco Machine. He really liked it. They said, I didn't know anything about Purple Disco Machine at this point. I think it was actually before Hypnotize had come out, so I think he wasn't as well known at the time. And so, yeah, they really liked it. They said, "Oh, we want it to be a single for his album." And I was like, "Great, that sounds amazing. I don't know who that is, but that's amazing, you know, whatever." And then I think Hypnotize came out, and they pushed back the release of Fireworks because it was the summer where we were in lockdown again, so he couldn't go out and DJ the song. So
That
they
was the
pushed it back
summer.
a year.
Was it the summer of 22?
I think it was either the summer of 20, maybe 21.
Okay.
Yeah, but it happened after Hypnotize, and I know that they pushed the release back by a year. And I think maybe Hypnotize came out in that time. And yeah, it just exploded. Like, it started in Italy. Like, almost, it was so fast the way it went to number one in Italy. And I was, and it being the pandemic, I couldn't really feel like, and in another country, I couldn't really get a sense of the success of it, you know? So it kind of felt like it was just happening over here, and I didn't really know anything about it, you know?
Somewhere, but, yeah.
Anyway, I hope that answers your question. That's kind of how it came about. It's quite a long story.
Yeah, but very interesting.
Do you still are a songwriter for other artists?
Yeah, of course. I'll go wherever wants my pen. I will go. I kind of like writing for other people as well, because I get to take my Moss Kenner hat off. And sometimes it's kind of easier to write songs when you're being objective, if I have a brief for somebody else. And I enjoy pulling the song out of somebody else as well.
So Fireworks is your song. You wrote it.
Yes, I did. Cool. Yeah.
And what are your musical influences?
I would say my number one musical influence is Amy Winehouse. I discovered her music when I was quite young, and just fell in love with her. Like, just like, it's funny, like, looking back, I must have been about 8 years old when I first heard her music, and I just couldn't understand why she resonated with me so deeply. It was like a deep connection to her, and I couldn't understand. It was just like, whatever she's saying, I know that that is true on some level inside of me. Had this visceral reaction. And before that, I was very into Elvis Presley. I think when I saw him as a kid, I remember telling my mum, when I grow up, I want to be Elvis Presley. Yeah, most people want to be, you know, policeman, firefighter, doctor, lawyer. I want to be Elvis Presley.
Well, and kind of you manage to be him. At least you're a singer.
The universe
and,
is good, yeah, right?
Right, exactly. You're going to be on that big stage. So
how did you get in contact with a German Eurovision pre-selection?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, I saw that they were taking applicants, and I just thought, why not?
You were in Berlin a month, and then the
it was very quick, actually.
Process started, yeah.
Yeah, I think the process for me is I applied, you had to send a video, right? So I had to, like, sing a cover. I can't remember, what did I sing? I sang Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor, you know? And I videoed myself in my apartment singing that.
I think it was written by Prince, right?
Yeah, exactly, you know. Yeah. One of the most beautiful songs ever written, in my opinion. But yeah, so I sent my little video to the, I don't know who I sent it to, like a website. And we got a response back, and I actually had to get special kind of permission from my record label to partake. But luckily they said yes, and I could do it. So yeah.
Was your application with one song, a few songs, or only the cover version?
It was only, I believe, one cover. It could have been two, but maybe that was what I was trying to choose between two songs. I think maybe it was one. Yeah.
So, and what's your connection to Eurovision so far?
Yeah, I think it's really positive. I think what I'm really enjoying is how the attitude towards ESC is very different in Europe on this side of the water. You know, it's
Europe compared to the United Kingdom.
Yeah, genau. Okay. It's like, it's totally different. You know, I feel like in the past, like in the UK, I'm trying to be what's the word, politically correct, because it's my home country at the end of the day, you know. I'm from there, but they just,
and we want to get the 12 points from them, so
they sometimes it feels like that there hasn't been a lot of do you know what, they'll all agree with this, so I don't care.
Yeah,
it feels like in the past they didn't take it very seriously, and we kind of felt a bit like, oh, no one gives us points anyway, what's the point, da 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 da, you know. But in recent years, the last few years, they
Sam Ryder.
Sam Ryder changed the game. In fact, one of my good friends, Amy Wodge, wrote that song, Spaceman. She's a fantastic songwriter. She's written, like, she wrote Thinking Out Loud, Ed Sheeran, and she's done most of Ed's stuff anyway. So I feel like they started to take it seriously, getting a new management from TAP, and their selection process got serious, but only in recent times, to be honest. So I think with the history of it not feeling like they've taken it that seriously, I can kind of A and B the temperature of it over here as opposed to the United Kingdom. Please don't hate me, UK.
No, not at all. And actually, the UK was a huge and successful Eurovision country in the 70s and 80s, of course.
Yeah.
With several wins. No?
Yeah.
Do you have memories at that time?
In the 70s and 80s?
From the 70s?
How very dare you?
No. I don't
know the songs.
I'm 16.
That's a problem if you do an interview in English.
You know, I think my earliest memory of the ESC with the UK representative was this glamour model called Katie Price, but her model name was Jordan. I don't know if you remember. And she was in a pink PVC catsuit while she was pregnant. And she will tell anybody that was her the biggest mistake she's ever made. And I don't disagree, God bless her.
No, I didn't mean personal memories. Do you know the music, the UK entries from the 70s and 80s?
Yeah, I remember there was, the name escapes me now, when they ripped their skirts off, making Bucks your mind
Fizz.
Up. Bucks Fizz. Yeah. Yeah, my mum, I feel like whenever I have discussions about Eurovision with my mum, she always brings up Bucks Fizz. She's like, it was game changing. It was, at the time, it was so crazy. Like, they ripped their skirts off. And now it's like, you see what's on Eurovision. It's like, ripping your skirt off is nothing. You're going to have to up your game.
Exactly.
I might rip my skirt off, when I get picked to do Eurovision, hopefully.
The biggest selling Eurovision.
You will?
I don't think
and
so.
That's a promise.
Okay.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I have to tell that the biggest, the most best-selling Eurovision single of all times is still from the UK, from 1976. It's Save Your Kisses for Me. Your mum probably remembers that too.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. Yeah.
And do you have a favorite Eurovision song?
Do you know what? I've thought long and hard about this. And there was a guy, I can't remember, I think he might have been Ukrainian. He was a guy and he played violin and it was, I'm in love with a fairy tale, even though it hurts. Yeah. And I remember that being captivated by that.
Alexander Rybak.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, yeah. And I remember being captivated by that song. I don't know what it was. It was the melody or something. It was a beautiful song. What country did he represent?
Norway.
Norway. That was it. Yeah.
That was the year before Lena won in Oslo. 2010. So.
Yeah. 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 There's been some good memorable ones. Not just because I'm British, but Sam Ryder for me was just such a talent and it was a phenomenal song. I feel like in recent times, you've got the success of Maneskin and they kind of felt very fresh. I think the good performances on ESC and the memorable ones are always the ones that were nothing like the rest. There's always something that's special about it. And sometimes it's about doing the opposite of what people think Eurovision is about. And I think that's kind of been my approach with this. And, I have a song that I would be performing on Eurovision.
I just wanted to ask you about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What can you already tell us about that song?
I think what I could tell you is that I think if you're a fan of mine, and if you know my music, you would think I would do one type of performance. And actually my gut instinct writing this song has been to do almost the opposite of what people would think I would do.
Cool.
And this song will be about my voice, and it will be me on stage singing my heart out for Germany. Because, hey, like, I'm not a person that puts myself in a race if I don't think I can win it, you know? And I think if I get picked, I dare anyone to stand in my way. I will do my best. Ich werde mein Bestes geben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're going to win in Basel as well.
I would absolutely love to. I'd absolutely love to. If I could do this for Germany and give back to this beautiful country that has given me so much, almost given me an entire career, you know, that would be such an honor to be able to, you know, give back in that way.
Your Eurovision song, you have written it on your own, or were there other songwriters involved?
Yeah, there was one other songwriter called Martin Gallup. It's actually a funny story. The song I initially wrote about 6 years ago in Los Angeles, and it was a demo that I've always loved, but I've never had the perfect opportunity or been at a point in my career where I felt I could put this kind of record out. And I've always loved the melody, and I've always loved the music. And when I got this opportunity, I just knew that this would be the song. However, I completely rewrote the lyrics for the ESC because I felt like the feeling of the song was there, but what it was saying wasn't the message that I wanted to bring to ESC. Yeah.
And can you already give us a hint what it will be about?
It is a universal love song.
Okay.
It will be about us being together and loving as one.
Let me move back to last August when you moved to Berlin.
Yeah.
Have you been in contact with German music and German artists at that time or since then?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you perform at, you know, festivals and stuff, you get to kind of meet a lot of artists. And, you know, I've spent time with a few, you know, been on the bill with like Leone, and I went on tour with Klok Klok and some great German pop artists. Not much like Schlager music, you know, like where it's like German language music. But I went to the Eins Live Kroner Awards.
Oh.
And it was the year where like Chiagu just won like everything. So I was kind of like really like, getting deep on the kind of like techno rap German language. Yeah. But there's a lot of great music in Germany, and I feel like Germany doesn't get the representation outside of Germany that it deserves. Because I can tell you now, like, most of the British pop writers and artists are coming to Germany to work because there's such a good scene here, especially in Berlin. A lot of the great, great pop writers from the UK, they all want to come to Germany to write because there's so much opportunity and there's such great artists here, you know? So I feel like we need the rest of the world to see what Germany has because it's really special.
Is it Berlin? Maybe,
Peter?
Mach du gerne.
No, maybe Chefsache ESC can show a little bit of the German music industry, music scene to at least the rest of Europe.
Yeah, I 100% believe that. You know, obviously, I would like to win. However, there's some incredible people here. They're all very, very talented. They've got beautiful voices. You know, I've heard probably 12 of them today. And, you know, I think it really is a showcase of how good Germany is, you know, in terms of music. And yeah, they've done a really good job. Stefan Raab, everyone, the producers, everyone who has, you know, pulled these artists together. I think, you know, not to include myself, but, you know, it's a brilliant selection. I think it is a selection of the best that Germany has to offer.
We just got a question in the comments. Have you met Annika Russo?
Yes, I have.
No.
Yeah, great girl.
she participated in a German pre-selection show.
Right.
Has she told you about it?
No, I haven't actually spoke to her about that specifically. But maybe that would be a good idea so I can get some tips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you should get back to her, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hello, Annika.
Yeah. And can you already tell us something about the song you're going to sing in the show this week? So about the maybe cover version or maybe an older song of yours?
I can tell you that I am singing a cover.
Okay.
And I can tell you that it's absolutely huge in Germany, and especially right now. So everyone will know it.
Huge in Germany right now.
Yeah.
Maybe someone has to help us in the comments.
Guesses, but I will not confirm or deny.
Okay. And how are the rehearsals going?
Yeah, fantastic.
You just had your rehearsal, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the thing I'm enjoying the most is performing with the heavy tones.
Okay.
Like, it's such, you know, for me as an artist and a musician, to be able to sing with such accomplished players and, you know, to sing with a huge live band, you know, it's not just like, you know, sometimes at my concerts, if I'm lucky, I'll get to have like 2, 3, 4 musicians. Like, this is like, you know, on a different level. So, you know, we've got the brass section, we've got at least 2, 3 guitars, we've got backing singers. It's like unbelievable. So that's a real blessing for me.
When you go on stage, are you stage fright?
Do you know what? I'm excited. But I wouldn't say I'm scared. Look, like at the end of the day, like this is my job. And when I'm on stage, that's like where I feel most at home, you know? So I feel nothing but pure joy, you know, being up there, you know? And you wouldn't be human if you weren't a little bit, you know, nervous, but I call it excitement. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it's good to be excited. No,
yeah,
and a little bit stage fright. Do the heavy tones give you comfort?
They do. They do. I was having a really good chat with some of the backing vocalists and everybody else. And yeah, we get on great, and they're very, very supportive. And I think they're really happy with my song choice. I think they really enjoy playing this song. So
you mean the cover song?
The cover song. Yeah.
Okay. Genau. Okay.
Yeah. Wolfgang, the musical director, it's been incredible working with him. I've had a lot of support from him, a lot of great ideas. I just feel blessed. I feel so blessed.
Sounds very promising.
Yeah, Wolfgang is cool. No?
Yeah. I actually have been spending time with his son, Kimo, who's a really, really cool guy. Young guy. He's very super talented. And I met him on tour with Purple Disco Machine. He's the biggest Purple Disco Machine fan, this kid, Kimo. Mm-hmm. And he came to one of the shows and he was sitting in my rehearsals today watching me sing. And it was, yeah, it's really nice.
I have to come back to German music for one question.
Yeah.
I'm very curious. You mentioned Schlager.
Right? Yeah.
Can you name one German Schlager that comes to mind immediately? Comes to
Maite
mind
Kelly.
Which one?
She has la, 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 la. Yeah.
Have I met her too?
Yes, I have, very briefly at Fernsehgarten. Yeah, she was giving it all the, you know... All of
she's
this.
Great, yeah.
She's fantastic, yeah.
Actually, she was also part of a German pre-selections as part of her family, Kelly family.
Yeah. Am I getting this wrong, or did they live on a boat?
They Kelly did. Family? Yeah, they did.
Look, right. I am German, I promise. Look.
Yeah.
I've got all the Kelly facts and, yeah.
Yeah, right. Right.
But they're not pirates.
I don't think so.
Okay, right, good, right, okay.
Maite is responsible for one of the biggest German Schlagers of the last 10 years. It's called Warum hast du nicht Nein gesagt?
Okay. And will you be singing it for us now?
With no, please don't.
But I have one more very personal question.
Uh-huh.
You have been in contact with the music of ABBA, I guess.
Yes, of course.
Can you share some ABBA memories and your favorite ABBA song or songs?
You know what? There's a festival in the United Kingdom called Latitude Festival, music festival. And I have one core memory of going one year, and they have, after the whole festival is finished, they have a tent that stays open with a DJ. And there was, I can't remember what it was called, but it was, they only played ABBA music, only ABBA. So it was like the whole night they only played ABBA, and it was incredible. Like, I don't think I've danced that hard in like forever. And ABBA's music is just so Makutalauna. It's like, it's just, it goes even beyond cheesy. It's so good. You know what I mean? Like, it's just phenomenal. How can anyone feel bad listening to ABBA, or how can anybody not like ABBA, you know, not feel something inside? But I think my favorite ABBA song could be Voulez-vous. There's something about that I love. Dancing Queen, come on. Like, I mean, it's impossible. There's so many, you know, just hits. Yeah.
But Voulez-vous is all right, Peter?
Voulez-vous is perfect. Yeah. Actually, perfect from album. From their second best album.
Okay. Fighting talk.
No. ABBA actually is art. It's art on the same level. I said it in another interview before. It's on the same level as Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, I agree.
Every single song.
Absolutely. I mean, it is the most beautifully crafted, well-written pop music. I mean, it must be scientific how they've done that. There must be some sort of algorithm or something, this thing they unlock in people. You know, the way people dance when they're listening to ABBA is just like, it's incredible. You know, if only I could learn their ways, I would have the secret to writing the most infectious songs of all time.
Have you been, since you're from London, have you been to their ABBA TAR show?
No, I haven't. And I've always intended to, actually. Yeah, I haven't done that yet. I don't know, kind of. I mean, I suppose it's with their blessing, you know. So, you know, because it's kind of like a bit of a controversy around hologram shows, you know, especially if the artist has like died and people don't really know whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing to do. But I guess since it's organized by them, and they're saying, we don't want to do the shows, but here, have some ABBA. You know, I think it could be a pretty cool experience. Yeah.
The son of Benny, one of the band members, produced it.
Yeah.
And this son was the husband
of... I just thought one of my sons, and I was a little bit confused because...
Benny, your son.
Yeah.
Now, Benny, do you know who he was married to?
No.
Who? Nanne Grönwall. Which is an icon.
Absolute icon living.
Maybe we're losing the right track right now. Moss.
No, we don't. Actually, Moss, thank you for your other answers.
Of course.
You made my night.
Yeah, of course.
I have one more question for you.
Sure.
Independent from ESC, what are your future plans for this year or the next 2 years? What do you want to do? What do you want to achieve?
Apart from winning this Chef Sacher and Eurovision, ESC, right? Apart from that, I just want to play as many live shows as humanly possible in Germany. And I want to release more music, you know, like my oxygen is being on that stage and seeing the crowd and exchanging that energy, you know. So all that makes me happy and all I really want to do is just be in front of the people in a live show, you know. So wherever I can do that, however I can do that as much as possible, is what I'm going to do. And continue to write and play music. Yeah, so I'd love to tour mainly. Yeah.
Will you do another collaboration with Purple Disco Machine? Probably.
Well, that would be a great idea, wouldn't it?
We take that as a yes. So, Moss, it was very nice having you here. Thank you for your time.
The pleasure's all mine.
And yeah, thank you, Peter, for joining us.
My thanks to you also.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
All the best for the next few days until Saturday. And
let's do it.
Please excuse my English and my strong German accent.
It's so good. Yeah.
And you're not our last guest tonight, but Leonora will be here in like 10 minutes, 8:15. So everyone who wants to keep on watching, do that. we will be happy. And yeah, Moss, thanks again. And
it was great. Then,
Thank you. Thank you so
and
much.
And enjoy the rehearsals and the shows and everything.
Thank you very much. You have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.